signed by Gittin Cowart, the only number one rated player they've ever signed. Cowart was the number one player in the nation. Now, I'm not talking about by position. I'm talking about he is the number one player overall.
Yeah, he should come in and immediately make an impact on Auburn's defense, and they needed somebody to. Yeah. And
I think me or you could start on Auburn's defense.
Yeah, I thought so too. But I know Auburn, I heard yesterday too, Jason, you may correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah, they got not only Cowart being the number one player in the nation, but they also got Kerryon Johnson, I believe, from Madison Academy. Right. He's the number one player in the state of Alabama that people were getting. And he's an athlete. I saw him play, football when I think Madison Academy played at Coleman back a couple of years ago. And I went up there and watched that game. And, oh, he's an athlete.
Lord, oh, yeah. I watched him. The state championship was on, I think, CBS at the office.
Right.
And it seemed like every time he touched the ball, he was scoring a touchdown. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was ridiculous how many times he scored.
Yeah.
Something we want to talk about, we're about 3 minutes away from a break and our first caller, but something I want to tackle is Nick Saban. We already crowned him king of recruiting. What is the need, Bruce, in your opinion, to sign a we're not going to call him a convict because he has not been found guilty in the courts yet, but someone who is charged with double cashing scholarship checks, domestic abuse, he choked and punched his girlfriend. Why does Alabama need a kid like that? Now, people are saying give him a second chance. Mm-hmm. He's already had his second chance.
Yeah.
He's on his third chance.
Yeah, I don't know, Jason, other than, give these kids a second chance. But like you said, you can run out of chances on some of them,
right.
And they can come out. And, I don't know. I don't understand. But, I heard, somebody say, I forget who it was, but said maybe – they were thinking, well, that kid needs football, needs that football team worse than the football team needs him, and hopefully if he can, play football and stay out of trouble, maybe it'll be good. But I know, boy, I tell you, it's hard to do when you're giving, kids second, third, fourth chances,
Posted a question. A lot of people have saw it, and while I'm thinking about Facebook, Tyler says he does now have the picture. If you look his Facebook page up, you can see the crowd lining up at Coleman. So if you're going to that game, you might want to head on out pretty soon if you want to get in. And congratulations to Coleman for that. I mean, if you can pack a gym out like that,
that'll be a great atmosphere tonight for both games that are being played. I know Coleman will have their fans, and I'm sure Hartsville will bring, quite a few fans, hopefully. And I know Decatur-Austin, always a big rival game in Decatur. I think, actually, they play Decatur and Austin when they play regular season. They play at Calhoun. Junior college up there, I think, if I'm correct, and I'm sure, I guess it's a bigger gymnasium to get all the fans in. So, hopefully everybody will get in that wants to see the game.
Real quick, the question I posed on Facebook, I give a little explanation. Does Nick Saban care more about this person or the win? And just by glancing, I've had several answers. A couple of people given their opinion two or three times, but overwhelming right now, they say he cares about the win.
About the win,
yeah. And for those of you sitting out there right now thinking otherwise, would he do the same thing for a 5'11", 185-pound kid?
Yeah, that's something to think about. Mm-hmm.
All right, Melissa, if you'll take us to a break, we'll come back, and hopefully we will have Greg Smith, onlybestbets.com. You're listening to Sports Talk Live 95.5, Coleman.
It's football season, and good vision is a must for the referee and for the rest of us. For over 35 years, Dr. Wayne Fuller has been serving Coleman and the surrounding area. At Fuller Optical, we are more than happy to assist you with all of your vision needs. We're located in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church. We can be reached online at fulleroptical.com or 256-734-1121. 734-1121. If you like us on Facebook or mention our ad, you can get 10% off designer frames. That's Fuller Optical in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
Scissors Salon is your full-service salon, conveniently located on Highway 278 East in Coleman. Scissors welcomes men, women, and children. Appointments and walk-ins welcome. At Scissors, it's all about you. Personal service and attention to detail. That's Scissors, Highway 278 East, Coleman. The little shop with the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, open Tuesday.
All right, 4:22, and we love this part of the show each Thursday. We are fortunate enough to have Greg Smith on with us with OnlyBestBets.com, a guy that tore it up during college football season. And if you'd have stayed with him, you'd have made some money. Hey, Greg, welcome to Sports Talk Live.
Hi, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, we're great. My partner, my usual partner, Ronnie, not with us today. His dad having some health problems. So, old friend of mine, Bruce Parker, in with us today. So, if you hear a different voice, that's what it is.
Okay, no worries.
Hey, Greg, tell us about the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 49, and the infamous passing call from inside the one. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, as you know, I was big on Seattle, and I still am. I think that was the right call. They had as far as the right pick was, it was the right pick. I had good defense, good passing D, that sort of thing. As far as the play goes, yeah, you know, I don't mind the pass. I just mind where the pass was going. If you're going to make a pass like this, I mean, put it out where it's going to be either completed or out of the end zone. In traffic like that, you can ask anybody that's played the game of football, such as I have, that is a basic 101 route play slant.
Right.
It's just not that complex. And I think you can see, Butler actually jumping that route, and they knew it was coming, and the Patriots have been up front in a minute, but they saw that play many times, and they were quite frankly waiting for it. So, at the other end of the spectrum was a bad throw by Wilson. Wilson needs to throw it up into the back shoulder and not lead him. I know that a lot of people think that, you know, the quarterbacks want to lead their receivers, which is right 9 times out of 10, but when you're in that close, you got to put it around their back shoulder so they can't get jumped around like that.
Right. And like you said, Greg, if the pass is complete, or even if it falls incomplete, we're not talking about this today. Pete Carroll is still the genius that we all thought he was.
Well, yeah, exactly. I get that. There's always this hindsight of what could happen. But at the end of the day, though, you do have your best running back in the league, you know, representing you, the beast. You got to get in the football.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I was actually looking at this when they got to the 11-yard line. I was actually up the TV hoping that, yeah, he didn't actually get in because I didn't want too much time left on the clock. So I was actually happy with that. He landed just short of the goal line. So, you know, bad loss, bad beat. And,
That was my team also. I was with you on the Seahawks, but we'll live and play again. Hey, your opinion on the other side of the football, Tom Brady, is he the best quarterback in NFL history?
Well, I would say yeah, and he's not done yet either. I mean, he has 4 rings. He's been to the Super Bowl 6 times. He's been the MVP 3 out of the 4 times, I believe. So, yeah, you're gonna have to give him the nod that he's actually probably the best quarterback that's ever played the game, and he still has 3 or 4 years left to add another ring to his finger.
Yeah, that hurts me because I'm not a big Brady fan either. I don't like his antics on the sideline and so forth, but again, I will play again. So, one more question. I'm going to let Bruce throw a couple at you. Russell Wilson, been in the league for 3 years. Of the three, he's been to the Super Bowl 2 times. Is Wilson, in your opinion, the next Tom Brady, and just how good is Russell Wilson?
Well, I think he's good, and he's going to get paid. But until we see him without Marshawn Lynch behind him, because you got to keep in mind that quarterbacks really do well when they have a good running game behind them, because it keeps the defense from just jumping plays and keeping them to really kind of guessing what's going to happen. None better for Wilson. I mean, he's able to scramble a lot, and he's really a tough quarterback to defend, especially with a running back such as Lynch in the background. So I'm anxious to see. He's going to do well next year because they're going to sign Marshawn again. They're going to get him off one more year.
Right.
So we'll see how he does in the years to come. I don't know if I can put the height on as a problem because, you know, you look at someone like Drew Brees, he does just fine. So as of right now, it looks like he could be a really good quarterback in the league.
Hey, one more thing. I said one more, and I'd let Bruce throw one, but another quarterback popped in my mind. Just wanted to get a quick thought on Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel. What's your opinion? You think the Browns are going to hang with him?
Well, I think they kind of got him at least for another season, and they were all in and got him. At least he knew they had a problem.
Right.
So we'll see.
And the Browns knew what they were getting when they drafted him. I mean, it shouldn't come as a shock to them.
Yeah, and I think that's where you saw the tough love, too, not from just the general manager or the owner, but from the coaches as well, kind of saying, being very upfront about how we are impressed with your tactics, your antics and whatnot. Here in Cleveland, we do things a little bit different. We're blue collar, and this is how we roll. And he didn't get that message, and I think he's kind of getting it now. At least I hope he does. I mean, I hope the kid turns around and does well, but obviously he has a problem. He at least is acknowledging it.
Right.
Hey, Greg, this is Bruce Parker. It's great to talk to you today.
Hey, Bruce.
Swapping over to college, since, you know, yesterday's National Signing Day for colleges, give us your top 4 or 5 recruiting classes this year.
Well, you have to forgive me a little bit on this question because, I'm kind of into the college basketball. I don't really kind of get into the football stuff until I get closer to the summer. But I'll tell you, you know, 4 teams that are kind of popping out of my head is, well, Alabama has done a really good job. They always do.
Mm-hmm.
If you win national championships, you're going to get some great players. They got a kid, this quarterback, Barnett kid, that could actually be a really good prospect for him. He's a top recruit, for one.
Right.
But I think he could really be a really good Alabama, if they can get good quarterbacks, everything else will fall right into place with them. USC has done a really good job this year. A team that's kind of surprised me that's done pretty well is Clemson. Clemson put a lot of emphasis on their on offensive linemen and a wide receiver by the name of, I think, Deion Kane, I believe his name is. Really good player. Fast, quick. But one of the other teams I'm looking at too in the SEC side is Tennessee. You know, Butch Jones is doing a really good job of focusing on the trenches. He went after some offensive linemen and some really good defensive ends. I look for Tennessee to have a really good recruiting class this year and look out for Tennessee in the next 2 or 3 years. I think they could be a really good team.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you there too. They did do very well on those. But Auburn landed Byron Cowart, the nation's number one player. How much did he improve this class, and would he now definitely be a Gator had Will Muschamp gone elsewhere?
Well, I think you're beginning to see how great of a player's coach Muschamp was.
Right.
I actually made a lot of money, not a lot of money, but I made 2 or 3 plays on Florida this year. Just because of that, you know, over Florida, over Georgia, you know, the players really responded well. With him, they didn't like the fact that he was being thrown out and going somewhere else. So this surprised me. And so I do believe Cowart has followed him, and he's a player. I think he's like 6'4", weighs about 250.
Right.
And I believe he ran just under a 5. The 40, he ran at 4.8, 4.9. So, he has speed. He's quick around the end. A good addition for Auburn.
Yeah, I agree with you. Thanks. Thanks, Greg.
Hey, Greg, I know you've shifted into basketball, so we want to get there, too, get the old round ball out. A couple of games I want to ask you about, and then you're free to throw in any other games that's worth looking at. Auburn tonight, it's been tough even with Mr. Pearl manning the ship, but Auburn plus 10.5 at LSU. If you had to take a side, which way would you go on this one?
Let me just leave by saying this, is that Bruce Pearl will get that program turned around. It's really hard for first time coaches to get players on board, you know, recruiting coming in. So give Bruce his due diligence and see how he does these next few years. But first year is always tough. That being said, LSU is a much better team than Auburn. LSU kind of slipped a little bit last week. They shot like 37% from the field, and they only averaged 45%. So I see a little bit of an anomaly there. I would rather shoot a lot better. And if Jordan Mickey plays, which I think he's going to play, he's really one of their top players. If he plays, I have no problem laying the points at 10.5 with LSU.
Hey, that's kind of unusual for you, Greg. You're usually the underdogs, man. So.
I am usually, but there's no home court advantage like college basketball.
Right.
None.
Okay, what about Iowa at Michigan -2?
There I go talking about home court advantage. I'm looking at Iowa in this matchup. You know, they've done really well on the road. And Michigan's banged up. They are LeVert, their best player, their number one player, is out for the year. So that's going to be an adjustment for Michigan. The three straight losses that Iowa has had have come from really good teams such as like Minnesota, North Carolina, Ohio State. You know, these are all teams that they beat. They have three straight losses, but these are the teams they beat on the road as being like 7-point underdogs. So the Hawkeyes play really well on the road. I expect to see more of the same here tonight. They need a signature win because they're getting close to March. I see Iowa covering the spread. I think it's 2 or something. No problem there. I think Iowa probably wins the game outright.
That sounds like a winner to me. Hey, last thing. I know it's early, but if you were forced to place a bet, a sizable bet, on 4 teams to make this year's basketball Final Four, who would it be? What 4 are you going to take?
Well, at the top of my head, I'll just go with the defenses. I mean, Kentucky has a great defense, and obviously they have a great recruiting class and a great team. They're long, they have a good front court. They're gonna go deep. Speaking of defense, Virginia, Tony Benning has got us. I've been huge on Virginia for ever since I've been on the air with you guys. No different here. Their defense is really good. They slipped up the other night, but that's no problem. Every team's probably going to slip up for the game in the March. I like them well for their defense. Speaking of also with more defense, look at Wisconsin. Wisconsin brought back 4 returning starters from last year, and they went all the way to the Final Four, so there's not going to be any bright lights in their eyes. I see Wisconsin doing well. And then shifting over to the offensive side, how about a team like Notre Dame? Notre Dame looks really good. They bring back just as many starters as Wisconsin does, and they shoot really well from the arc. This team gets hot, and they go at the right time. Look out for Notre Dame to go deep in the playoffs. 2 other teams just to kind of keep an eye on, just on the one on the west side, is Utah. Utah is really good in the Pac-12. Pac-12 is not as deep as it's been in the past, but Utah is a really good defensive team, and they should do okay also. And then going back on the East Coast, how about the Tar Heels? Tar Heels looking a lot better as well, kind of getting things going. I look for UNC to actually do pretty well also going into March.
Boy, if my son is listening, he is smiling from one ear to the other now. He is a huge North Carolina fan. So, hey, Greg, one other thing. Take out Kentucky from the SEC. Have you ever seen a year when the SEC has been so down? I mean, it's pretty much down across the board with the exception of Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, usually the SEC, for basketball purposes, always has the Floridas, the Vanderbilts, you know, the Kentucky, obviously. Those are kind of the teams that always are not just good teams, they're great teams. They're usually in the top 15. Oh, heck, no, Florida has has won national championships, and if you go back just 5 or 6 years, they've got two of them. So Florida is a good team, and Florida may be okay this year too. I think that they can be a decent team that can maybe get to the Sweet 16, but that's the problem with Kentucky. See, as I don't think they're playing enough competitive basketball to when they do get into the into March into the NCAA tournament, when they run across maybe a Big Ten team or a Big 12 team, a more physical team, how are they going to respond? Because right now, I just don't see them getting the valuable play time they need to get be really good going into March. I said that last year, though, too, and they played for the national championship. Yeah. So you got to be a little careful what I say, but I think you're right. The SBC is down, and they're a lot more down than they were last year, so we'll see how it works out for them.
Good deal. Greg, before you go, tell everyone if they're hunting only best bets. .com. It should be pretty easy to find it, but tell everybody how they can go about that.
Yeah, of course. Onlybestbet.com. Go on there. I'll go on the website, and I have a couple of specials. I got a $99 package right now for college basketball, which leads all the way through to the national championship. You know, I don't focus on NBA. I focus mostly on college sport, so that's what I look for right now, especially now going into February. It's really Christmas comes twice this time of year for me. With February, I have a pretty good math model that I use for February games, and I do okay. So, anyways, onlybestbets.com is where you can find me.
Yeah, and I want to remind everyone, this guy was on fire, as I said, in college football, and college football is something he just does, waiting on basketball. Basketball is his game, so $99, and you get all of his picks all the way through the national championship. So give him a look there. Onlybestbets.com. Greg, once again, can't appreciate you enough and all the information you bring to the show.
Hey, no worries. You guys have a good one, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Greg.
All right. Greg Smith, onlybestbets.com. Bruce, he's full of knowledge every week.
Oh, he is. Definitely is, Jason.
And I think during college football, I was telling you earlier, I think at one point he was 18-5 against the line. So, and he tells you right up front, football is something he does, you know, just to get by until basketball.
Yeah, 18-5, I would take that every year.
I'd take 18-5, not even picking against the spread, just picking games.
Yeah.
All right, Melissa, if you'll take us to a break, we'll come back with Dan Vosta here in just a few minutes. You're listening to Sports Talk Live, my guest host, Bruce Parker. We'll be back in just 1 minute.
I'm Tommy Warhurst, your farmer's insurance agent. Protecting what you value most is my job, and I take it very seriously. Is your automobile liability enough to protect all that you've worked for? Does your homeowner's policy carry replacement cost coverage on contents? Or, if something happens to you or your spouse, could you stay in your current home? I can help you answer these questions and more at 338-3701 or thewarhurstagency.com. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your Farmers Insurance Agent.
We are farmers. Bum, ba, da, bum, 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 bum.
Scissor Salon is your full-service salon, conveniently located on Highway 278 East in Coleman. Scissors welcomes men, women, and children. Appointments and walk-ins welcome. At Scissors, it's all about you. Personal service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Highway 278 East, Coleman. The little shop with the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, open Tuesday through Friday, 734-6006. That's Scissors.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
Okay, back with you on a sunny but cold Thursday. And Bruce, it's the kind of weather you like, ain't it?
Oh, Lord. I'm ready for spring, summer already, Jason.
I remember back in high school, be a little coolish outside, and Bruce, of course, no thicker than you are. You haven't got that fat on you like I do to keep you warm.
Well, I tell you, I can't handle this cold.
Hey, Greg Smith, just talked to him. If you're wanting to put some, for entertainment purposes only, money down, he's going to go with Kentucky, Virginia, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Utah, and North Carolina. One of those six, well, let's say four of those six, will be in your Final Four, and one of those he thinks will win the whole thing. Yeah, I'm going to go with the easy pick, Bruce. I'm going Kentucky Wildcats.
Well, it's hard not to, Jason. I tell you what, Kentucky, I saw them play maybe a couple of times, and they're unreal. I tell you what, they've got a great team, and, yeah, they're going to be hard to beat. So that would probably be my obvious pick, too.
And, man, they do it year after year. Calipari brings in the freshman. Sometimes it's one and done, no more than 2 years.
Right,
He just continues to reload.
He's the Nick Saban of basketball, college basketball. Yeah. I tell you, he brings in those recruits, like you said, and they perform at a high level early. And, you know, they get the job done.
Running gets a kick out of it, but I honestly believe it, that it's not a question if Kentucky will be on probation. It's a question of when Kentucky will be on probation.
Yeah, yeah. I just wondered that, too.
Yeah, if you look at Calipari's past, trouble seems to follow him. Now, maybe it's coincidence. I don't know. All right, let's move over while we're waiting on Dan to call in to high school basketball, and we'll probably have to jump back into this, take Dan's call and jump back in. Again, remind everyone, Coleman tipping off the area tournament tonight, and as we said earlier, already at 4 o'clock, already probably 100 or so people lined up outside the door, ready for some big-time basketball at Coleman.
Yeah, I think they're, if I'm not mistaken, Jason, they play the first game, even though they're – if I'm not mistaken on that, I think the – I looked in the paper, and I think they might have played the first game at 6 o'clock and then maybe Austin Decatur after that. So I'm not for sure, but they're –
I'll look that up while we're talking to make sure. But regardless – first or second game, you need to get there early.
That's right. If you plan on watching any of it, you better get there right now, I guess, to be able to get in and get a seat.
If you're planning on rolling in at 6 o'clock, I'm afraid you're going to be out of luck.
Yeah. Might catch it on the radio or something, listen to it. Yeah. But I know it's not the same as watching. But, yeah, this is going to be a big crowd.
Coach Meyer worried Tuesday when we talked to him that the fire marshal might actually – shut the door and say nobody else in, and that's a good possibility of that.
Tonight. Yeah, that's possible because, they're only allowed so many in these gymnasiums, and they sort of, the fire marshal sort of frowns on if you get over that capacity limit,
What is the reason for that?
I'm not sure exactly. I don't know.
Let's think about this like a Coleman redneck. Mm-hmm. Okay, you got, I don't have no idea how many it holds. We're going to use, just for figuring purposes, 1,000. All right, let's say 1,000 people is in the gym, and that's the capacity. All right, we want to get 1,100 in there. There's 100 people without seats. Now, in a case of a fire, is it really going to matter if you've got 1,000 or 1,100?
It don't seem like it would be a much of a difference there. You're right.
I mean,
I
don't understand that. I can understand it if you're talking about 3,000.
Right,
people,
yeah.
And so when the county tournament was at the high schools, if the fire marshal had been around then, he would have shut everything down.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I can remember one of the last county tournaments that was at a high school. It was at West Point. And I think even – it was just a Friday night. This was semifinal night, boys. And I forget exactly who played the other one. I know West Point Cold Springs played in one of the semifinals, and it was packed out. I mean, it was just standing room only. Yeah. And then West Point had one of the biggest gym in the county. And right. So,
in other action, as we said tonight, Vinemont and Holly Pond will be playing actually the championship game.
That's right.
And the girls division, Holly Pond. Let's see, who will they be playing?
They'll play Hansel, right.
And that game is at 6, the boys' game tipping off after that one. Hansel girls, a 65-29 winner over Susan Moore. And tough on Vima. Holly Fun Girls 19-9, 81-19 winner over Vima.
Right. Yeah.
I imagine, and my kids are from Vima. I know a lot of people from Vima, so I'm sorry if I make you mad, but I imagine Holly Pond took it easy on Vima, or it would have been worse.
I was at the game. You know, Holly Pond come out, and they got off to a very quick start, and and they done, you know, what they normally do. You know, you just do what you do. You know, run the floor, you press, and then they didn't stay in the press, you know, that long, and, you know, until they, had a big lead and they got out of the press. So, you know, it was just unfortunate for Vinemont. But, yeah, Holly Pond girls look good.
And, again, the Vinemont boys and the Holly Pond boys will tip it off after that. Loser will travel the next game, and I think I'm right on this. This area actually matches up with Madison Academy.
That is correct.
Which is not good news.
No, it's not. I tell you, even the runner-up that comes, from what I've heard some talk, Madison Academy, of course, is probably going to win the area, or just, more than likely. But from what I heard today, West Morgan boys are good, and I think it's actually a very close game with them, West Morgan, Madison Academy. So even the winner of Holly Pond's area, they host, but if they host West Morgan or Madison Academy, it'll be tough.
Right, and it could be like Tyler's senior year. Vinemont won the area, beat Good Hope, and matched up that year with Madison Academy. Well, lo and behold, Madison Academy lost their area championship and traveled to Vinemont to play us.
Yeah.
Ended up being a close one. They jumped out to a big lead, but ended up a close game. But Madison Academy ended up winning it. Down at Cold Springs, the girls, 24-6, were a 55-33 winner over Addison. Caitlin Hall, 15 points. Tanner, a 57-31 winner over Falkville. The championship of that game, and if I'm right with these numbers, Bruce, 7 o'clock Friday?
It is. 7 o'clock Friday, and a rematch of a game just a couple, two or three weeks ago, Cold Springs beat Tanner at Tanner, and then Tanner come to Cold Springs and beat Cold Springs girls.
It's not supposed to work that way.
It's not, I don't know really what happened. I know, but anyway, they split regular season, so it should be a great game. I know Miss West, she's already watching film. She is watching film this morning, going back to the game and trying to, maybe correct some of the mistakes they made. And, but it's a big game, and it'll be a big crowd there at Jesse George Gym Friday night.
All right, another in the girls' division, the Fairview girls. Winner over Russellville, 52-47 in an upset. I think Russellville was the area regular season champs hosting the tournament. Fairview gets the win. Even withstood a 38-point performance from Ashley Dunston, I guess you pronounce her name.
Wow.
Fairview, the first time they won a sub-region or made it to the sub-region since 2000. So they'll face number 3 seed Lawrence County, 7 o'clock Friday night at Russellville. So
that, I tell you, Fairview girls, Coach, Hartline, Mary Hartline, she's doing a great job there. And they I don't think they have a senior on their team.
So they've got
a good future ahead of them.
All right, we'll get back to basketball, but right now we've got our man with a plan, Mr. Dan Vosta on the line with us, Campus Insider, and Dan can give you information, Bruce, anything you want to know. Hey, Dan, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Happy Thursday to you.
Hey, Dan, right quick before we get started, Ronnie, Dad has some health issues, so he's unable to be with us today, but a good friend of mine, Bruce Parker, is sitting in with us.
Okay, no problem.
Hi, Dan.
No problem.
Dan,
how's it going?
To kick us off, we might say, what are your thoughts on the Super Bowl? Right to start with, another win for Brady, another win for the Patriots, Seahawks close 1 yard, and the infamous pass now. Give us your thoughts.
Yeah, first off, I've been watching Super Bowl for maybe not quite as long as my father and some other folks, but we had a discussion that's definitely, I think, top 5 entertainment purposes. For me personally, I thought it's the greatest Super Bowl I've ever seen in person. I'd like to watch a couple more of those missed field goals from Norwood and the Bills, maybe. But I thought the ending's what made it maybe the most entertaining Super Bowl. Some people wanted more, but I thought that fourth quarter and the finish, greatest comeback in Super Bowl history, it pretty much gave us everything we wanted. Sure, there's two coaches and two teams that many people are not fans of. Many people just love both teams. I think that's kind of what people wanted to watch, was see who was going to lose. But these were the 2-1 seeds. Very rarely do we see that. It is a place where the Patriots, of course, lost the Giants, same stadium, 18-1. So, I mean, there was, you know, many different hype machines you could talk about, talking about this game. But the way it ended certainly was something that maybe we'll never forget. And certainly, you look at, obviously, that last play, but I think certainly three things stood out to me quickly was that, first off, when Marshawn Lynch got that first and goal carry from the 4 to the 1, the Patriots didn't use a timeout, which I thought was they were going to do immediately. Right. And then he went inside a minute, and I thought that they essentially did the worst thing possible, and this is in real time when Nathan Lynch got tackled at the 1-inch line. I thought that was the worst thing possible, was not use a timeout. They had two of them. So now the clock's inside of 30 seconds, and your chance of scoring on maybe the best defense since the 85 Bears, some would argue, seemed to none less than 30 seconds. You could have used a timeout to get the ball with a minute left if they were to score the next play. But because of that, the Patriots kind of, the Seahawks were nonchalant, and 25 seconds or so, they hiked the ball, and when that little quick snug pattern of receiver slant that you saw Notre Dame and Florida State, except this one was at the 1-yard line, in the Super Bowl of all plays, you see the interception, which pretty much a 0.001% chance of happening, and to have that deciding last play where you have maybe, I would argue, at least in my lifetime, the best goal line running back I've seen, his two legs are tree trunks, Marshawn Lynch over Jerome Bettis, or any Hall of Fame running back, maybe I would take Marshawn Lynch over them. He's pretty much, you know, a man possessed running, and it's not like he's been on the horizon this past year. He's been a stud for the last 3 or 4 years, and you could argue maybe this was his best season, and to not have him get the ball in the most important play at that time in your franchise history, arguably, was quite the head-scratcher. But you have to give credit to the Patriots for making maybe the most memorable final play, if you will, in Super Bowl history.
Right. And talking about the play, Pete Carroll, I saw him this morning on the Today Show, and I saw him a couple of other times and heard clips from him. I don't know of another coach, and there may be one, but I don't know of another coach who would come out and talk about this call and be as open with it as Pete Carroll has done. It makes me think more of a person I didn't think a lot of before.
For sure. I mean, he's a winner. But hate him or love him, he's won before. He's won big-time games before. He's also lost big-time games before. Couldn't help and happen that they remember that night or just 2 nights ago when they lost that game to New England. It brought me back instantly. I didn't have to really use my brain. It just brought me back instantaneously to the other greatest game I've ever witnessed in terms of football, and that was the USC-Texas 06 Rose Bowl, where I thought the best player in college football that year, and most voters agreed with me, was Reggie Bush. And of course, USC had the lead driving inside of Texas territory. 4th and 1, they give to Lendell White. Reggie Bush gets on the sidelines. At least they did give to Lendell and run it on a 4th and short, unlike this time where they passed the ball. But certainly Pete Carroll, good chance he could be a Hall of Famer down the road in both sports for college and pro. But when you're looking at this, at least he ran the ball in the college national championship game against Texas in that infamous Rose Bowl. But this time he just decided to pass both plays, very questionable plays. This one a little bit more since it's the Super Bowl, let alone being a pass play. So obviously if this one would have been broken up and they would have scored the next play, they probably not near the discussion that he received now. But this is a team that many people thought was the better team in Seattle, and it was unfortunate for them to lose that game. But Pete Carroll, maybe not the biggest class act, some people would argue, because you see him and Bill Belichick, mainly Pete Carroll, and years past, so they have won scores up. They'll always argue it's the defensive job, but certainly I think there's times where you could just run the ball with an all-pro running back when you're up 20-plus points. But that's the thing about the Super Bowl that I think will always be memorable, was these two memorable coaches, future Hall of Famers, and Bill Belichick, many people discussing as maybe the greatest ever now. So But he's going to be back more than likely, Pete Carroll. We'll see how many times he can maybe get back. That's always the toughest thing. But certainly a memorable game, and certainly you can't blame him. You credit him, for discussing what you mentioned of that play call that, of course, many people are very upset about.
Hi, Ben. This is Bruce Parker. Will Tom Brady be remembered as the greatest quarterback of all time?
Yeah, I think a great discussion. I think that's maybe the top discussion in the world of sports outside of that final play. Is how many more years does Tom Brady have? You know, many people feel good 2 to 3 more years. He hasn't been maybe the greatest regular season quarterback in NFL history, but in terms of his overall resume, most people have him, at least I would, with Joe Montana. 1, 2, however you want to rank those at this moment in time. I would have no problem ranking him slightly over Joe Montana, but I would kind of have him 1A, 1B right now. Certainly, Tom Brady may not be done in terms of going back to the Super Bowl. We know the Patriots, so they're offensive players. Their O-line and most of their skill players fairly young, and this is an offense we've seen develop their passing game. Their running game comes and goes, and you have numerous running backs they've had, but if Tom Brady can get back to the Super Bowl and win another one, then I think it's pretty much the exclamation point. But you can't forget that there's another guy that's still an active player at this moment in time, Peyton Manning. If he comes back and has another memorable year, remember just 2 years ago came back from a bad injury, and he had the greatest year in NFL history for quarterback, and he's still got some good players. He's a Demaryius Thomas. Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. So who knows, if Peyton Manning wins a regular season MVP, wins a Super Bowl MVP, I'd actually come back and say I think Peyton Manning maybe has a better resume for his career than Tom Brady, but that's still a lot to be determined. But right now I have no problem putting Brady and Montana on the top of the list. You got Peyton Manning and the Dan Reels and John Elway's, Brett Favre, so many Johnny Unitas. That's probably the next tier if you could even break it into that. So, but right now he's got a great case of being 1A, 1B, and get back and win another ring, and then you kind of put an exclamation point because he's already got so many Super Bowl records, of course, that he just broke this past weekend.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dan.
Dan, we're going to tackle college recruiting here in just a second. One more question. Starting to go in that area. Tom Brady, we all know, sixth round draft choice, 199th pick, I think it was. And so much is made at the college level about signing the five-star kids. It's all about the five stars. But Sunday, and correct me if I'm wrong, there was actually no five-star players on the field. Tell us how these teams made it to the championship without these five-star players, if it's all about, you know, the number of stars you're putting on.
Yeah, I think there's a big disparity. Good question. I think, you know, you got to get 4 and 5 stars out of high school into college more times than not to at least compete in or win a national title. I saw a stat earlier. For all the national champions in the BCS era, those teams all had at least 2 top 10 recruiting classes in the previous few seasons before they won it. So you got to have the Jimmys and the Joes in terms of winning national championships in college. Doesn't mean you can't be successful. Michigan State, maybe the best coaching staff in America for college football. They've been a top 5 program the last 2 years, probably a top 10 program for the last 4 years, and they really get a top 15 class. They'll be a top 25 the last few years.
Right.
But for those, you know, next level in the NFL, like you mentioned, no 5 stars in the Super Bowl, you could still get, you know, some fairly all-American players like Earl Thomas, who's only a 4-star for Rivals. Richard Sherman, of course, receiver and corner. But the Marshawn Lynch's, Russell Wilson, that's really their whole type of offense. But to get their entire back 7, like Seattle Seahawks do, I think recruiting and recruits, the outlets of that rank these 3, 4, and 5-star guys, there's more misses than hits because you just don't know what you're going to get out of 18, 17, up to 19-year-old players. And sometimes these kids, all men, right out of high school, you look at Leonard Fournette and Nick Chubb at running back. Those guys look like future superstars for many years to come. But I think more times than not, you're going to see misses because it's just hard to project how these kids respond to hostile environments. Certain coaching staff help them. Some hurt them. Sometimes if they don't get playing time, things don't go crystal clear right. Sometimes they don't perform well, and sometimes they transfer and they never get back the opportunity. So it's really just hard to project from high school and going to college because you look at the Seattle Seahawks defense, and these and those were no 5-stars. I saw Bobby Wagner play at Utah State. they've been named the best non-BCS team in terms of developing players from college to the NFL, maybe over NIU and Boise State, in my opinion. I remember Bobby Wagner when he played in college, but I thought he could be a superstar down the road. I didn't think he'd be named the best linebacker in the NFL. And that's pretty much what he's become, I think, with Luke Kuechly as the top tacklers in America. He could, cover any receiver pretty much and tackle better than anybody out there. So, and you look at Earl Thomas, was an athlete coming out of high school. I mean, if you get a lot of 3 and 4 stars, you could turn in your program and even your NFL team into a premier program or premier team. So I think it's a little overrated, even though it is a very interesting stat to notice that there are no 5 stars. Just goes to show you that there are more misses than hits. When you look at a lot of these programs, they may get 4 or 5 5-star recruits, but maybe only 2 pan out in terms of even playing at the next level. Some transfer and never kind of get going. So it's just very unpredictable, but the stats do show if you get enough of those 4 and 5 stars, you're going to get at least 50% hit of being productive for your college program. And at the end of the day, you want the 4 and 5 stars as a college football program, but obviously it does not always translate into future NFL success.
Right. Okay, let's shift gears and jump over to the college scene since we're talking about recruiting. We all know Alabama is said by everyone to have, once again, the best class of the year, I think making them 4 straight. What are your top 4 or 5 classes this year?
Yeah, I think I would rank Alabama, of course, number one. I mean, until things start flying, they're probably going to be number one every year, at least in the top 5, as long as Nick Saban's there. And that good commercial for Super Bowl, I think, was the pig sign. Florida State, I would probably rank number 2, USC 3, and anywhere I'd probably put Tennessee 4, Auburn 5, just slightly at number that top 5, but you mentioned three teams in my top 5, yeah.
Okay, Dan, this is Bruce again. What grade would you give the Auburn class, and how much did Byron Cowart raise the grade?
Yeah, I think everybody seems to feel he made the difference for Auburn being a top 5, a top 10 class, and without him, such an elite pass rusher can get after the quarterback, which is really crucial in the SEC to get off the field on critical third downs. We saw Auburn's defense, one of the worst in the SEC, at least standards-wise, was a big struggle for them. But he's such a great guy in the run-stopping ability as well. So I think he put them in the top 5 for me. Most people had him at least in their top 10. Mm-hmm. Without him, we'd probably rank him somewhere Auburn in the teens.
Right.
But certainly he was a home run hit. You match up him. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm sure you guys and some down by you. Carl Lawson, get healthy. Byron Cowart, that will be the best pass rushing duo in the country in 2 years, perhaps next year, if he can get healthy. So you go from a bad defense for SEC standards to maybe one of the best in the country. And that's the beautiful thing about college football and college sports, and specifically the SEC West. You could be maybe the best or worst defense, like they were maybe in the SEC West this past year, to be a potential national championship dark horse. We'd be shocked if they're ranked in the top 15 preseason, just based off this recruiting class with a few of their playmakers coming back. So
right.
I think it was a big-time hit, and certainly it helps to have Will Muschamp as your D corner as well.
Right, yes. Give us one or two teams you felt was a disappointment with this year's recruiting class.
Yeah, I think the Miami Hurricanes were a little disappointing. Michigan is well, you prefer to get some better players for Jim Harbaugh, but I think they're going to give him another year or two before he gets some superstars and starts winning maybe double-digit games. But Arizona stands out to me a bit because they're coming off a tough loss in the Fiesta Bowl, and certainly the game ended badly, but it was kind of deemed a bad loss for some that had high expectations. They were coming off, of course, a Pac-12 title championship loss, an embarrassment, if you will, to Oregon, where they were really never in the game after the first quarter. But this is still the Pac-12, the second-best conference in America, and I would say the second-best recruiting ranks as well, for me at least, when you look at the premier teams. But it's not great news because Oregon's still top 20 recruiting class, and they're still a premier top 10 program, even without Marcus Mariota, I would argue.
Right.
And Stanford had a solid top 20 class. But that's the good news. The bad news is that USC and UCLA are playing home run football right now, where they're getting about as good as any teams in the country, SEC included. They're right there with them, at least, for this past year. And the Trojans and the Bruins are not messing around. So I think they're clearly the best two teams going into next year and for the near distant future. And it's going to be tough for Arizona, a team where many people wanted to see them have big-time success. And they did this past season. but I don't think there's anything more than an 8-9 win team down the road. I'll be shocked if they can compete for New Year's Six bowl games, because USC, UCLA will pretty much be getting that, I think, for the near future, for many years to come. So a little bit of a disappointment for Arizona. It's been cracked at top 20 list, and it's kind of trending downward for them.
Right.
Okay, Dan, our new segment, Buy, Sell, and Hold. Going to run through it real quick for those that may not have heard it. Buy, Sell, or Hold is a segment we came up with where I throw out an idea, and Dan and today Bruce will be taking Ronnie's spot. They give a buy if they agree and they want the stock. They sell it if they don't agree with the idea, or if they can't make their mind up or really don't know, they're going to hold. So Dan, we'll start with you since this is Bruce's first go-round at buy, sell, and hold. Sunday Super Bowl was one of the five greatest of all time.
Have to buy that one. For me personally, I think it was arguably the greatest ever. Certainly top five. The way it ended alone, easily top five. I'd rank it maybe the greatest ever, so I'm definitely buying.
Okay, Bruce?
Yes, I agree with Dan. I would buy that too. It was one of the most entertaining Super Bowls that I've seen in a while.
All right. Now, Bruce, you'll get to kick us off this time. Tom Brady is the best quarterback in NFL history.
That was a tough one. I'll have to hold on that one, I guess. He's a great quarterback, but,
not ready to put him at the top.
Not ready to put him at the top yet, I guess. I know, like Dan was talking about, Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, Brett Favre, some of these quarterbacks that's been there. Tom Brady's good, no doubt, and he he's won several Super Bowls, but I'll hold on that one.
Okay, Dan?
Yeah, I'm going to agree. I'm going to hold as well because his career is still not finished completely yet. And there's Peyton Manning's, and so I'm going to hold for that, and we'll see, but certainly among the top. But I'll hold.
Okay. Dan, you kick us off on this for the ladies that may be listening. Sunday's halftime show was an improvement over the past 3 years.
Oh, that is definitely a buy for me. So the left to the right shark, I'll take the left shark. That was the hit of the half. Yeah. With Katy Perry, with those sharks, I was having my Portillo's beef and during halftime, and those sharks stole the show, I thought. So, and obviously Katy Perry was a hit as well, so I'd have to definitely buy.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good, or I wouldn't even be asking a question about it. Normally that wouldn't be in my questions. So. Bruce?
Yes, I agree also, Jason. I'll buy on that. I enjoyed her show and the land sharks. I think that might have been a dig, helping Ole Miss there. Yeah. I know she was on game day at the Grove, with ESPN, and she really an Ole Miss fan, so she really liked the land sharks.
All right. We got two buys on that one, so... Bruce, back to you this time. Russell Wilson has been in the NFL for 3 years and has two Super Bowl appearances. If he stays healthy, he will have at least 6 appearances, just as Brady currently has.
That's a tough one. Russell Wilson, another great quarterback. I'll hold on that one, I guess. I'll just have to wait and see. I mean, he's a good quarterback, and he's been in the league 3 years, and he's done great things. Been in the Super Bowl twice. That's amazing. So we'll see. We'll hold.
All right, Dan.
Yeah, I'm going to sell, actually. I've actually had Russell Wilson on my fantasy team. Love watching him personally. He's done great with, I would say, average receivers. Certainly helps to have a good old line and a great running back and a top five defense maybe the last 10 years. But I'm going to sell just for the fact that 6 is almost borderline impossible. Certainly Tom Brady has proven that to be somewhat possible because of the Patriots' dominance. But I'm going to sell that because you just don't know. This isn't like the 90s where the salary cap played such a big difference in terms of players staying for so many years. It's fortunate for Brady and Belichick, of course, to be together for this long. We may never see that ever again. So we don't know Pete Carroll's status maybe in a decade. Marshawn Lynch could be a free agent. The defense may not stay together. So I'm going to sell, even though I wouldn't say completely impossible, but I will sell.
All right. Back to you, Dan. First off, we're going to switch over to college. The SEC proved once again yesterday why it is called the strongest conference in the nation. No other conference was close to their signing class.
That's a home run, Bi. This is the easiest question in Bi Powell whole history. I think it's not only a Bi. I think it was everybody but Vandy and Kentucky finished in the top 20. Mizzou was just outside of that, or top 25. So home run, Bi. It's a no-brainer.
I agree with Dan. I'll buy too.
All right. That one was too easy, I guess. So we'll move on to number 7. Bruce, you'll start us off. Without Will Muschamp at Auburn, their class would have been at least 6 spots further back in the rankings.
I would agree. I would buy that, I guess. I would think, you know, without Will Muschamp, excuse me, there, I think they don't get the Cowart kid, you know, that he's come in, like, he's a player's coach. I think, you know, he's got a home run there with those recruits that he got that brought with him that would probably went to Florida otherwise. So I agree with that. I'll buy that.
Okay, Dan?
Yeah, I'm certainly agreeing, sir. I'll buy as well. I think you probably don't land maybe an extra home run like Howard or another couple other players. Certainly it still would have been a solid class, but they probably would be in the teens, best case scenario without him, and it certainly has a certain effect. A lot of people love Will Muschamp, especially the D coordinator, obviously. So I'm going to buy.
Okay. We got 3 more. Dan, you'll go first on this one. The Florida recruiting class will need much improvement over the next years if they are to compete for an SEC title.
Yeah, I'm going to buy that. It's not like they've done a terrible job in recruiting, but they certainly eventually going to have an above-average to all-conference type of quarterback, and I think that's part of recruiting, obviously. So I'm going to have to buy. If they want to compete for the SEC championship, their offense cannot be among the worst BCS teams in America. Certainly they're ball hawks on defense, great defense, top 10 the last 4 years, arguably. But their offense has maybe been the worst in the SEC for the last 3 years in a row, arguably, or at least last 2. So I would definitely have to buy. Improve, not a lot because you're still top 20, but they got to get at least a top 10 class going.
Okay, let me ask you this before Bruce gives his answer. Was the class of Florida, the Gators, better or worse than you expected them to be? With Michael Wayne coming in, the new coach, was the class better or worse than expected?
Yeah, sorry about that. I would say slightly better because they did have a home run hit yesterday. So landed a couple of those big time defensive stars. I think they were what in the 60s going into the week for overall class by most outlets, finishing in the top 25. So slightly better, but obviously they got to be a little bit above average to compete with the big boys. But I'll buy that for overall, and then slightly better than expected.
Okay, Bruce?
Yeah, I'm going to buy that as well. I agree with Dan. I think McElwain coming in as the head coach, I mean, he's an offensive guy. I think he's going to get the offense turned around down there. I tell you, Florida's loaded with athletes, and I think, you know, with the right system and in place, I think McElwain's going to do good, and he'll get the offense rolling.
Okay. Bruce, back to you starting us off. UCLA actually had a stronger recruiting class than USC, even though USC was ranked higher.
I'll hold on that one, I guess. I'm not sure. I didn't keep up with USC, UCLA very much as far as the recruits or anything. So I'm just going to have to wait and see maybe next year, you know, to see how it sort of pans out.
It's
and,
always safe to hope.
It is. I guess I'm the safe guy, I guess, you know, just see how it pans out in maybe in a year or two. So I'll hold.
Okay, Dan?
Yeah, I think I would probably hold as well just because you don't know, like we've talked about with these kids. I think most people did have, though, USC ahead of UCLA. Almost everybody, to my knowledge, had Trojans ahead of the Bruins. And they're going to be the, you know, same division out there in the Pac-12 South. They'll be probably the top 2 teams. They might both be ranked in the top 15 next year preseason. I could see them actually competing, both of them, for national championships. I'll say within the next 3 years, one, if not both, will reach the college football playoffs next 3 years. So I'll hold though because we just got to wait to see how these kids develop.
Okay. Last one, and this is should be an easy one, one way or the other, according to how you feel. It's time to forget football and get ready for March Madness. Dan?
Yeah, I have to buy this. 6 weeks or less than 6 weeks now from Selection Sunday. I mean, well under 50 days. I'm getting pumped. We'll be covering on Campus Insiders every day pretty much the next 2 months. So I'm looking forward to it, and I'll have another rib segment this Friday talking about SEC hoops, Kentucky and Florida. So I'm looking forward to it, all the conferences, you name it. I think it's maybe the best 2-3 weeks, if you will, from Thursday to Sunday in maybe all of sports for the short period of time that March Madness is. So bye.
I agree with Dan. I'll buy that. You know, this time of year in basketball is an exciting time. And, you know, coming up with even to the high school and the colleges, you know, the tournaments coming around, the conference tournaments, and then the NCAA tournament. So it's an exciting time.
All right. Fair enough. Dan, before we let you go, tell everyone if they want to see some of your information or the rib section, you say coming up Friday, how could someone find you in find the information that you're digging every day for?
Yeah, you, on Twitter, you can hit me up on social media, CI_StatsGuru. More than happy to talk football, sports, anything, any time of the day when I'm awake.
Yeah, so, right. I believe
I'll be tweeting out probably sometime tomorrow evening. So more than happy every Friday from pretty much here out to the season. We'll be doing a rib stat, which is just known for really important bone stat, which is my nickname in the office because I do like my baby barbecue ribs. So, but it's a stat every week. We'll be talking. This week should be SEC hoops, and we'll switch up a little bit by talking about all the big time games and preparing your bracket to hopefully not be shredded because everybody seems
to
tear them up. I'll try to help. So. Always look forward to it.
All right, Dan. Next week we shift full speed into basketball, so I'm going to try to forget football. I'm not promising I'll be able to forget it completely, but I'm going to try. So.
All right. Before you know it, the draft will be the NFL draft right when Mark Nunes ends. We kind of get back into football. So it never ends. We'll still be thinking about it, but it's going to be quickly approaching again.
Okay. Thanks, Dan, and hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks as always, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. Dan Vosta. We call him Dr. Knowledge or the man of knowledge. Like I've said 100 times, don't matter what you ask him. And we give out 8 to 10 questions to Dan ahead of time to let him make sure he's got his facts. And Ronnie is the world champ at it, throwing curveballs, things that are not on the paper. But it don't matter what you ask him, if he's prepared or if he's not, he knows the stats, and that his Twitter handle, Stats Guru, fits him perfectly.
Yeah, he's a full of knowledge, that's for sure.
All right, 5:18, we'll go to another break and be back shortly, and maybe we can revisit some high school basketball.
That sounds good.
You're listening to Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman, Alabama.
Live 95 WRKM LP Coleman.
It's football season, and good vision is a must for the referee and for the rest of us. For over 35 years, Dr. Wayne Fuller has been serving Coleman and the surrounding area. At Fuller Optical, we are more than happy to assist you with all of your vision needs. We're located in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church. We can be reached online at fulleroptical.com or 256-734-1121. 734-1121. If you like us on Facebook or mention our ad, you can get 10% off designer frames. That's Fuller Optical in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your Farmers Insurance agent. Protecting what you value most is my job, and I take it very seriously. Is your automobile liability enough to protect all that you've worked for? Does your homeowner's policy carry replacement cost coverage on contents? Or if something happens to you or your spouse, could you stay in your current home? I can help you answer these questions and more at 338-3701 or thewarhurstagency.com. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your Farmers Insurance agent.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba, da, bum, 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 bum.
All right, 5:20 Thursday afternoon, getting close to dark. But before it gets dark, we've got I called Dan the man with the plan or Dr. Knowledge. We've got Dr. Knowledge in fishing, Rex Chambers. Rex, welcome to Sports Talk Live.
Good evening. How you doing?
Hey, doing great. My partner, Ronnie, is his dad experiencing some health problems, so sitting in today, Bruce Parker from down at Cold Spring. Bruce grew up with me and kept me out of a lot of trouble. So,
how you doing, Rex?
I'm fine, Bruce.
Hey, and Rex, tell Bruce, so I'm not saying it, War Eagle or Roll Tide?
Hey, it's always War Eagle, brother.
Hey, I hear you. There you go.
So we've got rid of Ronnie, and we've got three Auburn fans on the line right here.
It's War Eagle all the time now, huh?
That's right.
Hey, Rex, tell us about the fishing scene right now. What's going on the local lakes?
Still cold, but fish are biting. Got the people need to know the Alabama Bass Trail will be kicking off here in 2 weeks on Lake Jordan for the South Division, and I think it's 4 weeks for Gunnersville. So if the North Alabama guys haven't got in yet, they have about another week left to get their entry fees in for the entire season. So probably the best bass trail around, period. Other states are trying to copy us, and it's been going good first year.
Okay, Rex, you say bass trail. Explain to everyone, if you would, what this consists of.
It's the Alabama Bass Trail Series. It is comprised of five tournaments. Each division has five different tournaments. You have a North Division and I have a South Division. The North Division kicks off on Gunnersville in, I think, 3 to 4 weeks. The North Division goes to Gunnersville, Neely Henry. I believe the championship this year is on Wheeler. They come to Smith Lake, and also go to, it's going to throw me off now. But anyway, we do five tournaments in each division.
Okay.
South Division goes to the Mobile Delta. They go to Eufaula. They go to Lake Jordan, and they go to, it's going to throw me off on the last two on that one, too. Five divisions there. So, you got 10 tournaments. Each division qualifies for a championship in November. I think it's the top 40 or 50, top 50 teams. I think it's 55 this year. Top 55 teams in points goes to the championship on Wheeler. Winner there wins a new boat. Each tournament pays $10,000 per place.
Nice.
Yeah, can't beat it. It's a great trail. Run by some really good people. The state governor got behind it last year and got it going, and now it's kind of self-functioning, and it is taking off like wildfire, and several other states are been inquiring about how they need to go about doing this, so it's a good deal.
Hey, it's a good thing. Alabama don't have a lot of things that other states are asking us how to do, so it's a good thing we've got something. So.
You're right there.
Hey, Rich, what are the fish biting right now? If you were headed out in the morning, headed, let's say, to Smith Lake, and fishing, what are you throwing?
If you go on Smith Lake, you're throwing jerk baits and small crank baits. Water temp, the surface temp's good and cold, about 44 to 46. So spring bite hasn't really set in yet, but it's getting close. If you're going up Tennessee River, you're tying on a rattle bait, rattle traps, and XR50s, and going something loud and fast, and they're really biting them right now. This weekend is the first BFL tournament of the season, Chi Chi Division on Saturday, and then Sunday is the annual rattle trap tournament where that's all you can throw is a rattle trap product. So tournaments are getting kicked off. They start this weekend. I won't be fishing either one of those this weekend. I have to go down to Jordan, do a little practicing, but after this weekend, I don't think I'm at home till the end of June.
Wow. Hey, but it's a good thing to be doing if you're not going to be at home. So
there you go.
All right. You talked about the rattle trap and the jerk bait, and most people are familiar with that. Tell us, if you had one bait, Rex, that you had to fish with year-round, what bait would that be?
Oh, anybody that knows me knows I have a jig in my hand. That's just 12 months out of the year.
12 months.
C65, they're going to buy a jig. Now, is it the best thing to be throwing right now? No. But if I had to choose just one thing to put in my hand, yeah, that's what I keep in my hand all the time.
Hey, good deal. And that's one thing I never mastered fishing. I used to fish good gosh, I used to fish all the time. I moved over on the lake and got lazy and just about quit fishing, but I never mastered the jig fishing. So.
Well, and it would surprise you to know that a lot of people haven't. It's something that
I don't
really
feel alone then.
Yeah, there's something that you really need to keep in your hand and learn it a lot. And once you get to master it a little bit, there's absolutely nothing like it. Before I forget it, March the 7th is the Freedom Marine Tournament on Gunnersville, going out of what they call Bucky Howe Park over on the Spring Creek side of the lake.
Yeah.
They're going to have a big 10 event. It'll probably start, 10 event will start Friday. The tournament will be on Saturday. I believe it's $5,000 for first place, $10,000 if you're in one of their Phoenix boats. So it is they're going to put on a really good tournament this year, their first annual event.
Just out of curiosity, for us people like me and Bruce that might get a fishing pole out every now and then, in fact, all my reels, I bet I couldn't even throw one of them now. It's been so long, but I already forgot where I was going with this question now. Hey, I'm telling you, Rich, it's been one of those days.
Hey,
I'll shift gears and ask you something else.
Well, the biggest thing is this cold weather is fixing to break, and springtime is right around the corner when it comes to fishing. February, the third, fourth week of February is always when the fishing cranks up around here in North Alabama. And this year is not going to be any different from the rest.
Do you do any crappie fishing at all?
I do, and, you know, dead of winter. I did some crappie fishing back in 1st of December to the 1st of January, and it's mostly by accident, and don't get me wrong. You know, I do a lot of, I like spoonfish a lot, and I'll find those fish while I'm spooning and catch a lot of crappie. And, of course, I have to call my buddies and say, hey, I might ought to come over here and hit you a mess if you want them. I don't go live bait fish like a lot of crappie guys do, but once I find them, yes, I love to catch them, keep me a few of them. Matter of fact, I have a couple of bags in the freezer that need to get gone next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I can remember even back in high school, some of the older men that lived around the school, they would come by and just have the boat loaded with crappie in the spring, and I never mastered.
I gave away a mess this year that I needed my tail kick for doing it, but I got on a group at Browns Creek Bridge on Gunnersville, and I was catching big slab crappie almost every cast, and this gentleman fishing under the bridge looked at me and just kind of threw his hands up in the air like, what are you doing throwing those back? And so I started throwing them in a live well, and I think I ended up giving him like 22 or 23 big crappie.
Wow.
He was very appreciative, and I'm on my way home, well, man, I should have brought those home, but sometimes I'm a little too lazy to clean them.
Yeah, there you go. That's the hard part of it to work. I know where I was going with that now. How many tournaments would you estimate you fish a year?
Just
a ballpark number.
It depends. Weekend tournaments, between trails and just regular old fruit jar, you know, call them fruit jar tournaments or wildcat tournaments.
Yeah.
But between trails and all that, just on the weekends, probably 48.
Wow.
Now,
really, Rich, also, you do realize there's only 52 weekends in a year.
Well, that's what I'm getting to. See, once the summertime gets here, there's weekday tournaments in the evenings, and, you know, and I probably fish 30 of those. So, I'm on the water a good bit.
Okay, got to ask you one more thing, and then I'll let you go. I love nothing better than getting out right before daylight when the top water is hitting. Nothing better than that. When is the best time? When can we look for that top water bite to start?
April 1st.
April 1st.
That's the rule of thumb for me anyway. That's when it's tolerable to get out. And for you know, Joe Blow that just wants to go catch some top water fish, come the end of March to the 1st of April. Rule of thumb, like I said, April 1st, especially on Smith Lake, that's when the topwater bite usually starts exploding. And not just the bass, the big stripe also. I have several stripe trips that I'll take down there in the first couple of weeks of April. And after about 2 hours, you're ready to come home because you just get tired of catching those big stripe. But, yes, rule of thumb, first week of April, that's when you really want to start concentrating on your topwater.
Okay, good deal. And I've been threatening it for years. I may get back in it and really have to get some tips from you this year. So, Well, all right, Rick. So
all you gotta do is call.
Don't freeze, and I hope the fish keep biting for you. And thanks for calling. Look forward to you calling in again next week. So.
Hey, y'all have a great week.
You too, Rex.
Good luck, Rex.
All right, Rex Chambers, our local fishing pro, and 48 weekends out of
wow, America. I can't believe it. I couldn't be on the water this time, this type of weather at all. I tell you, I'm cold anyway, and especially being on the water, I'd be freezing to death.
Oh, even when I had the fishing bug, and I was fishing four nights a week, and a lot of times I'd fish on Saturday morning. Well, I'd fish first on Friday night. We'd fish a tournament at Katoma, 6 to 12. Get up before daylight on Saturday morning. Be back at the lake to catch the topwater fish early in the morning. And then Sunday morning, I would get up, go fishing before church, get home in time, get cleaned up, and go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And have went on Sunday evening after, but not many times. Most time, one trip on Sunday. And then Monday night, we would have a tournament.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot of fish.
That was back in the younger days. All right. We need to jump back on high school basketball because some of these games are going to be starting pretty quickly. So we got to Fairview. I think that's where we finished up, the Fairview girls.
Mm-hmm.
And Melissa, anytime you want to break, just give us a shout or throw it up on the board, and we will abide by your rules. So, the Coleman girls, 55-44 winners over Hartsell. Bailey Johnson with 29 points. Coleman will face top seed and second-ranked Austin at Austin Friday at 7 p.m., Bruce.
Yeah, that'll be a tough one for Coleman. I tell you, I saw Austin girls play over the Christmas break and in Decatur and in the Decatur tournament. I think Holly Pond actually played Austin, and it was a good game. But I tell you, Austin is loaded with athletes.
Yeah, you don't get to be ranked number two in 6A
right.
And not be pretty strong.
Right.
So. Some girls' team that's already finished the season up. Good Hope lost to Aniana, first round of the area tournament. Aniana 49, Good Hope 32. Lawrence County defeated West Point 46-22. Brilliant defeated St. Bernard 58-45. So those three teams are done for the year. I guess they can get off the softball glove.
Yeah, I guess they can. I know Good Hope girls, I know they have a lot of young girls that are really talented, and so Good Hope's got a bright future ahead of them, and I'm sure those girls will be working this spring. And Coach Welburn out at West Point, you know, he turned around and had a great season, and so, you know, I'm sure they'll get it going again next year.
Okay, swapping over to the boys' side of the basketball. As we said, tonight, Decatur plays Austin, Coleman, Hartsell, and Bruce says those are actually in different order than I've got them. So Coleman, now, Hartsell, Decatur, Austin.
I'm not sure on that, Jason. I thought I saw that in the paper this morning, and I may be wrong. It may be, you know, Austin, Decatur first, and then Coleman, Hartsell in the second game. So, but I'm not sure on that.
The beauty of it is, like we said, whichever order it's in, you need to be there, right?
You're right. You should have been there a couple hours ago, probably.
Okay. Looking at 5A, Fairview play Lawrence County tonight at 6. West Point and Russell at 7:32. Coleman County teams there. The winners will play Saturday night at 7. Aniana in 4A, Aniana plays J.B. Pennington at 6, followed by Good Hope Locust Fork at 7:30. The winners of that will play Saturday at 2. 3A, as we said already, the first round decided. Holly Pond will be playing Vinemont, 7:30 tonight, championship area. And again, matches up with Madison Academy. So whichever team you are, you need to tighten up the tennis shoes.
You're right. That is correct.
Down in your hometown, Cold Springs, Tanner playing Falkville at 6, Cold Springs and Addison at 7:30. Let's just be honest. Cold Springs not going to have any problem with Addison. Tanner probably not going to have a lot of problem with Falkville. I think they had one close game during the year. Right?
That's true. Yeah, Falkville not a bad team. They played Tanner pretty close, and but I look for Tanner to win, and I look for, you know, Cold Springs to win, and another rematch. You know, like the girls Friday night, I look for Cold Springs Tanner boys to be in the championship Saturday night.
Right, and another note on that one. That's another game Saturday night. If you want to go to that game and want to sit on Cold Spring side at least, you need to get there early.
You're right, Jason. They always have big crowds at Cold Springs, and the community really comes out and supports the basketball down there, and as you know, and that's a big game, and they'll be a big crowd. So get there early.
Okay, and the 1A division, Lynn plays Meek at 5:30. St. Bernard plays Brilliant at 7. Championship Saturday night at 6. So. Plenty of basketball.
You're right. You're Jason. And, anywhere you want to go, you can catch a game.
Okay. We got a caller, Greg Johnson, on the line with us. Greg, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jason. She didn't understand the word Tally.
I was before I called you Tally, I wanted to make sure it was Tally and not another Greg Johnson. So let me rephrase that. Tally, welcome to the show.
Hey, let me tell you something, Jason. You're going to have to put a limit on your calling. I've been trying to... Do you have these celebrities coming in?
Yeah.
And you have everybody calling in, seeing you can't get through, and they got these celebrities on.
Oh,
there.
Okay. We'll put a limit. Hey, Tally, I've got to ask you something while I've got you on the phone. You might get away from me, and I don't hear from you. Okay. Give me your honest opinion on Nick Saban signing the Taylor kid that's already been in trouble with the police 2 times, kicked off the Georgia team. Alabama has the number one recruiting class, yet Saban sees fit to bring this kid on board.
Be honest with you, Jason, I've been to Indiana for 2 days, and I got it taping. I don't even know who you got on his team.
He signed this one a while back. This is the kid from Georgia that was arrested for double cashing.
Abusing his
girlfriend.
Okay, the one that Eddie Gwynn said that he wished he hadn't a guy.
Right.
Yeah. I don't really know answer on that, Jason. I don't. Y'all give a couple of y'all's players, a second chance.
Hey, but Tally, a lot of difference in studying a computer and beating up your girlfriend.
No, y'all give up watching that. Now, what's that other quarterback? Not the computer guy, but the other guy got in trouble. Y'all got what? The quarterback. What was his name?
I don't remember, Tally. Nick Marshall.
Yeah, Nick Marshall.
Hey, you know what reminded me? I'm coming in from Miller. You know what reminded me calling in today after I seen that on Facebook?
What's that?
Oh, Van Cone.
Van Cone.
Yeah. He's talking about old Bruce Parker a while ago. And I said, Bruce Parker's on that sports
talk. How's it going, Tally?
I'm going pretty good. You doing all right, Bruce?
Yeah, doing good.
Yeah, I'm doing good too. I'm just headed to the yard. We'll be off to Monday. But
Tally, tell us where you been.
I've been to Illinois.
You haven't run into anybody famous or anything?
No, not lately. I went up there to Winston-Salem the other day and went to this big old nice house, and this boy's about 28 years old, and I said something about what he's done or something, where he's from or something. I said something anyway. We got to talk about Alabama. And he said he went to the University of Alabama. He said he graduated the year when Nick Saban took his place.
Oh, Shula?
Yeah.
Shula. Mike Shula. He said he graduated the year Mike Shula got run off. So he's a big Alabama fan. He said he watched the ball game, watched us get a butt whoop by Ohio State. Everything, but
oh,
hey, what y'all been talking about? I ain't been able to hear you because
hit all over the map today. We've been on high school basketball talking about the area tournaments, and we've talked recruiting, we've talked about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that area is going on at Coach Frank's night, ain't it, Bruce?
Yeah, you better get there.
Yeah, it is. The boys. Play tonight. Tanner Faultful at 6:00, and then Cold Springs Addison probably around 7:30.
Yeah, I ain't gonna go that night. I'm gonna go that girls' game tomorrow night.
Yeah, it should be a good one, and then hopefully, they're looking at Cold Springs Tanner boys Saturday night.
Woo! Was you there last time we played Tanner?
I was there.
Lord Almighty, hey. Ball game,
That was a great game. It was.
How come you ain't come watch and play it, Jason? You're home school.
Hey, I don't get out much. When it's cold weather, I've not been the county tournament game I went to see. I've not been to see a game at a high school all year. Daddy, you still with us? As we say, he gone.
He's gone.
He may call back in a minute. He's got about 20 minutes before we go off the air. Tally, always a blast to talk to.
Oh, he is.
Tell what he's been up
to. That's right.
All right. While we're waiting and seeing, I want to make this announcement. The Margaret Jean Jones Center, Coleman Walking Club, will be starting Monday, March 2nd at the Beach Center, which is located behind Handy TV. They will meet and walk from 9 to 11 Monday through Friday. Cost is $10 per month. They say come walk with them. Proceeds will go to the Coleman County Center of Developmentally Disabled. For more information, call 256-708-7139. Again, if you're interested in being in the Coleman Walking Club to benefit the Margaret Jean Jones Center, phone 256-708-7139. And we have got Tally back on the line. Tally, you with us?
Yeah, I should come through Hansville. Come through. You didn't answer my question. How come you didn't come to any of the ball games, Jake?
I answered it. You just didn't hear it. I was at the county tournament game, yeah, but I've actually not been to a game inside a high school, you know, all year.
And you know, I felt sorry for you. I didn't get home in time to go to the ball game, so I was listening to the ball game on the radio. And you know, when the boys played the other night, the first thing I done, hey, I went and bought a Coca-Cola for you. You wasn't there.
And I wasn't there. And that Coke would have paid you
$20.
I told somebody, he said, what are you doing? I said, this Coca-Cola for Jason. I said, I'm going to go find it. I think it's Eddie Willoughby. I said, I'm going to go find him and get $20 from him. That's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one more question. I'm gonna let you go. Really ain't got nothing to talk about sports, but here a while back you went to Nashville to you out to watch some kind of program.
Yeah, Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
She was on the radio that day, right?
I don't remember.
Was that live or was that
no,
day?
It would have been pre-recorded if I was on the air that day.
Okay, because I was fixing to say, I could understand if you left Coleman, and when I seen you up there on Facebook, what you posted where you was at, I can understand how come you wrecked in the mountains that day.
Why is that?
Well, if you was on Sports Talk and you got to Nashville that quick, I can see why you wrecked and you spoke about.
Yeah, that would have been some fancy driving, wouldn't it?
It's your well, Bruce, you gonna be at the ball game tomorrow night?
I probably will. Probably come watch the Cold Springs Tanner Girls rematch, so it should be a good one. Probably be there.
Hey, you ain't got my buddy with you today up there, do you?
He was here for a little while. Yeah, he came with me for a little while. Had the big Auburn shirt on, Tally, so you know.
How about that?
So we was all Auburn up here today.
Just tell it when you see him now, just say Tally was okay if you wear that Auburn up as long as you don't wear no Tony Stewart.
Yeah. All right, I'll do it.
I'll see y'all tomorrow.
Hey, Tally, thanks for calling.
All right, thanks.
All right, see you, Tally.
All right, again, Greg Johnson, everybody knows him as Tally.
That's right. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to hear Greg and know who it is. I've always known him as Tally.
It is. And that's the reason when I saw it, I didn't know who it was Tally.
That's right.
All right, time for a break. We'll be right back with Sports Talk Live 95.5 Coleman Thursday Edition.
AK Rentals has been serving Coleman and the surrounding areas for over 22 years. Why buy when you can rent what you really need from AK Rentals, like construction equipment, trenches, lifts, tractors, and thousands of other items. Plus, AK Rentals is now your authorized dealer for Echo Power Equipment and Shindawa Trimmers and Equipment. AK Rentals, Highway 31 North, open Monday through Friday 7 to 5 and Saturday till noon, 734-0038, 734-0038.
Planning for a new building can be exciting and at times a little stressful. Take the stress out of your construction project and enjoy the experience of constructing a custom Morton building. From planning your new building to watching it take shape, Morton will be with you every step of the way to build your new garage, riding area, horse barn, hobby shop, or machine storage building. Best of all, Morton stands behind every building with the strongest non-prorated, non-pass-through warranty in the industry. Don't wait to get started on your project. Morton is located in Garden City and can be reached at 256-352-0406 or online at www.mortonbuildings.com.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
Okay, 5:46, winding it down Thursday afternoon, and Bruce, we've got Sheila on the line. Sheila, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
Hey guys, War Eagle.
War Eagle. Three Auburn fans once again. It's covered up with Auburn.
That's
fans.
That's right.
I'm telling you, that's what it should be.
Yeah, we don't need that Alabama stuff.
You got one of my favorite people there too, Jason.
Yeah, he's all right. Found him on the side of the road and brought him on up.
Appreciate the kind words, Sheila.
Oh, you know I love you.
Hey, Sheila, other than Cold Springs basketball, tell us a little bit about that, and then what else is on your mind?
Well, Cold Springs basketball is doing great, Jason. I'm proud of them.
What did you think about the county tournament?
You know, the county tournament, I thought we would come out with a couple of wins there, a couple of championships there.
Yeah, not many really times you see Cold Springs lose three like that.
It just didn't seem right, did it?
I want to get your opinion and Bruce's opinion. I sit through, we were late getting our food at an eating establishment here in town. Not going to call any names, but Allstate was the initials. late getting our food, so didn't make it until the very end of the girls' game, but was there for the entire boys' game. And I have to say, in all honesty, that was the deadest county tournament I've ever seen. The quietest county tournament I have ever seen.
I agree. I mean, and Bruce, you can agree with this. We usually always have a big cheering section. We didn't even have that.
Yeah, we do. I know Cold Springs, I was surprised.
I mean, they were cheering. They were cheering. But we usually have somebody on the end.
Right.
A big cheering section.
Right. That just didn't seem to happen this year. Groups, not just Cold Springs or, Holly Pond, or it seemed like any of the teams didn't seem like, they had a few, but just, to get the students out and get involved in the county tournament, I just didn't see it this year.
I didn't either. I don't know what the difference. And you're right, I really didn't see any other schools doing it, but, we're supposed to do it.
Right. Yeah. We've been known for having a great student section all year. Cold Springs, that is. I say Cold Springs. They've had great student sections at games all year and, got it going at halftime, and entertainment there. And so they do a great job when the students get involved. It just makes it a lot better.
It is, and a lot of it, too, nowadays, Bruce, you hate to say it, but a lot of people just can't afford to come to all those games.
Right.
It comes down to that sometimes.
It does, yeah, I agree.
I thought we'd get a couple of them, I really did. I thought we'd get a couple.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough. I was sort of split on the girls. I know, I have a daughter, on the Holly Pond sideline, so, I definitely going to root for her, no doubt.
Well,
but, it was sort of split. But I was glad. I was proud of them. I know Coach Adams, Coach Scott Adams does a great job. And that's, I think, his third straight. So,
They
done good.
They did. Paige is my other daughter, so.
Oh, yeah.
Sheila, got to ask you something, and we've talked about it before, but seeing Alabama's number one recruiting class, and honestly, for the Alabama fans, I'm not just picking on Alabama. I would be saying the same thing if it was Auburn. I said it as Auburn brought this kid on campus. What are your thoughts on Nick Saban and the Taylor kid, the one, the domestic violence And I'm asking this because Alabama just, once again, the fourth number one recruiting class happened yesterday, and yet Nick Saban feels the need to bring this kid in.
You know, Jay, it's a, you know, we're supposed to pray for everybody and love everybody, and I will for this kid, but this kid didn't steal some computer, and he didn't smoke a little pot. This kid beat his girlfriend up bad.
Right.
Her. I mean, it's just not the same thing.
And it's not like Alabama is a Vanderbilt or a Central Florida that needs all the talent they can get, because Alabama basically picks and chooses and gets pretty much who they want.
Now, it's true. I don't know what the story is there. I mean, I'm not saying he can't change and he can't, you know, be a better person, but, you know, do you want somebody that beat up their wife representing your school? I don't understand it.
All right, this is going to be the year known as the domestic violence year.
It is.
Oh, that's terrible. I'm not saying that's terrible, but I don't know. But it's just like college football. It's just yesterday, like that guy signed with Auburn, then he don't send any letter. You know, these kids, make up your mind. Is that other kid even send his in to Florida? Did he finally send his in?
No, last I heard, he hadn't, but he could have since I saw
him. I haven't heard either. I don't know.
Well, I heard, the last I heard that somebody called him and he said, you know, do you have a reason? He said, yes, but I can't say. So, who knows?
Now, it's all about drama. Everybody wants to, as Bruce
make
said,
make up your mind.
The
I mean,
other.
You have a right to go where you want, but now you're going somewhere, and then, you know, it just, they're letting them have too much control, I think.
That's true. Yeah, the kids now, I don't know, they put on a big show. They want to just, you know, make a big thing out of it, you know, and one, like I said, you know, the one wants to outdo the other one, and, you know, it's I don't know. People like to watch it, I guess.
But Auburn did really well. On a good note, Auburn did really well.
Yeah, Auburn surprised me. They actually had a better class than what I expected. Of course, as we talked about, we'll see in a couple of years how the class pans out.
I hope we don't have to wait a couple of years, Jay.
Maybe with Coward. I hope he goes in and makes a difference next year. So.
You come to Cold Springs and watch the girls play Tanner and the boys play Tanner.
Sheila, I would like to say I'll try, but honestly, Saturday night, if I'm at a basketball game, I will probably be at Coleman and Austin. So.
Well, yeah.
That will be a huge game, and it's only about 4 miles from my house.
Yeah, he'll have to get there probably about 3 o'clock that afternoon, or maybe earlier, because if you've seen the picture that Jason had earlier, they were lining up at right after school, I think, today, just to get in. So it's going to be a big crowd.
And you hope all the fans that usually go are the ones that get in, you know?
Right.
I didn't go tonight or last night because, you know, I hate to say this, but I, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say it, but you know what
I'm going to say. Oh, yeah.
but I'm planning on going tomorrow night.
I can't believe you're not at a Cold Springs basketball.
Yeah, that's unusual. It is. Not to be at Cold Springs game. I know.
It is. I had a 5-year-old in a 2-year-old.
I hear you.
I'm getting old.
Oh, me, we all are. I tell you.
Yeah,
well, Bruce needs to fill in more. He did a great job.
Oh, I appreciate that, Sheila. Thank you.
You did. Love your whole family.
Oh, well,
Good listening to y'all.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye. Bye-bye.
All right, Sheila calling from Cold Springs. That is a faithful basketball fan.
Oh, she has. She always has been. I mean, for years has supported Cold Springs and Tay coached her sons, you know, and I tell you, they're all, it's a great family.
Right. I don't know. I know Brad is an Auburn fan, and, you know, that's the way you judge people if they're a good person or not.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No, I'm kidding about that, so don't get too upset. One more thing on the Alabama situation. Alabama starting to draw the attention of some victims' rights advocates. And I don't think they're going to want this light shined on them from these groups, because you know as well as I know, Bruce, these groups have a way of making you look bad, whether you're bad or not.
Right.
The groups or for a good cause, but once you have one of those turn on you, they can make you look bad in a hurry.
That's right.
A couple of them have said, here's some comments. Let's see. Let me find it here. Okay. They want to raise concerns about the message being sent to women and the legal risks some universities continue to accept. This kind of thing that really sheds light on how much lip service is out there about domestic violence. And when they say this, and it happens not only at Alabama, different places, you will see the coaches and the officials stand up. We're not going to tolerate it. There is no room for abuse on women or abuse of any kind.
Right.
But then yet they accept somebody like this into their programs. So.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand it. Talking about these guys, like Alabama, for example, I know they had a big recruit, I think, leaving, their program, and they probably had others. I know just recently D-Liner, is transferring out. Not sure where he's going, but I saw,
That's the first time I've
heard of him. He's a big defensive guy. You got these 4- and 5-star, like he was talking about, recruits that are playing behind 4- and 5-star recruits. I mean, it may be 2 or 3 years before they get to see the field, And so some of them may like to go in and compete right off the bat, but some, they could probably be playing, early. At somewhere else,
probably any defensive player off Alabama's team, put them on Auburn's team, they could probably start.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, Auburn, it was bad. But again, not just keep hammering Alabama, because if you want to go back and listen before the story broke about Alabama, it was on Auburn. He was visiting Auburn, and I said at that time, Bruce, if Auburn signs this kid to a scholarship, I'm done with Gus Malzahn. I have no respect for him, and thank goodness that didn't happen.
Right, yeah.
All right, folks, we've got about 3 minutes all we have left. Remind everybody a few things. Basketball. Just pick a place, go support a team, listen to it on the radio if it's too cold. Going to be a lot of basketball action the next 2 weeks, and then it'll be in Birmingham.
That's
last
correct.
Week in February?
It is. I think it's the 23rd through the 28th, that last week. So that's the state championships. I mean, there's big, quick turnarounds here. You got these area tournaments, sub-regionals, Monday, Tuesday for the girls and the boys, and then the regionals at Wallace will start, I believe it's next Thursday, Jason, a week from today.
Bruce, you'll know more about this. You've been following basketball a lot more closely than I have, but this is probably one of the strongest years for Coleman, the city of Coleman and Coleman County combined. I mean, we've got Coleman. I'm not saying no other teams can make it, but a good shot at making it possibly to Birmingham. The Coleman boys I think have a good chance. The Cold Springs boys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
Holly Pond boys and girls.
Right, yeah.
So...
I tell you, they've got good chances. I like their chances, but I know Holly Pond girls. I mean, they've had a great year, I expect them, hopefully to get back to Wallace, but then they run into Lauderdale County, I think, down at Wallace.
That's not
so that's not good. They won, I think, the last 3 state championships, and they've got, triplets up there that are just juniors. So they're, pretty much got their team back from last year, so they'll be tough to beat. But I know Coach Scott Adams and the Broncos will be ready for the challenge if they face them.
Yeah. Good luck to all the local teams. I hope we come back next week and talk about some wins. And as we get closer to Birmingham, I hope we get the chance to go down and see some Coleman area teams play in Birmingham. All right, we're about 40 seconds away, Bruce. I want to say a big thank you for filling in for Ronnie. I know he would be pleased that you're sitting in his seat.
Oh, I appreciate the opportunity, Jason. I just hate, to fill in for Ronnie, under the circumstances he's under. Hope his dad's health issues get resolved and he can be back here soon.
All right, and I want to ask everyone, as I did Tuesday, to lift that family up in your prayers and your thoughts. Ronnie's dad, 84 years old, and we all know as we get older, the old body starts to wear out, and just pray for that family, and go see some basketball.
That's right.
All right, until Tuesday, we're done. We're going to get out of here. It's about bean time, so hope everyone has a great weekend. Hope your team wins. And, Bruce, once again, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to Sports Talk Live, 95.5 Coleman's Independent Radio Station. We'll see you Tuesday.